Welcome to Dollars and Cents, the program that tries to help your dollars make a little more sense. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, not a bank better. And we have two guests on the program today. Joshua Gunn is in our studio. He is the president and CEO of the Peoria Area Chamber of Commerce and CEO Council. And later in the program, Fred Stewart, who handles the contractor development programs here at the Minority Business Development Center, will be along to tell us about what's coming up in the month of May. First, Joshua Gunn. Okay, so talk to me about this new initiative. It centers around housing. What is it?
Well, it's a lot more than housing, actually. So we are focused on, it's called Choose Greater Peoria, right? And the Choose Greater is emphasized in the name, right? So we're thinking about live greater, play greater, work greater, give back greater, engage greater, right? So leveraging that term greater, not just in the traditional sense of like the surrounding areas all coming together to create this greater Peoria region, but actually emphasizing how great life can be in a place like Peoria, right? And it really is the evolution of another effort that we started, we being the Chamber, the CEO Council, GPEDC, and Discover Peoria about 2 years ago that we called Greater Peoria 2030, which was our 10-year strategy to grow the population in the region. We developed some traction and really catalyzed that effort. Shouts out to Representative Gordon Booth. She helped us secure $500,000 for the effort from the state of Illinois, and that really gave us some legs to stand on.
I like to say a half million, you know.
Yeah, I like half million, no doubt. I like half a million, 500K, however you want to say it, but we were happy about that. And that, I think, aligned with another effort that the Gilmore Foundation was doing. And we've really kind of joined forces and evolved that effort as more of a collaborative between the business community, Peoria residents, people who care about Peoria, civic organizations like ours. And we really just want to do what's best to promote, market all the great things about Peoria and also make the necessary investments to improve the community we live in.
I remember a couple of years ago, and when you came into town, you came in with a lot of fire and energy, and yeah. Those sparks have taken off and a lot of people are energized. I think a lot of people can feel it.
That's great.
And when we talk about Peoria living greater, doing things greater, I'm thinking of the amenities that we have in the River City that we sometimes take for granted. People who live here sometimes forget all of the wonderful things that are here. And you talk about that.
Man, the perspective... It's easy to lose perspective when you live in a place, right? You've been here your whole life, or this is home, or families have been here for multiple generations. It's easy to, what is the saying, not see the forest for the trees, or just in general forget that all this stuff that we have here doesn't necessarily exist in other communities of our size, right?
Such as
the park system that we have, the massive park system that we have, the largest in the state of Illinois, the first park district in the state of Illinois, but also things like the cultural amenities, right? I can go see, I saw Cat Williams at the Civic Center on the same night that I went to the 125th anniversary of Bradley University, right? So in many ways, two worlds that are really far apart, right? Bradley University with its rich history and legacy maybe doesn't as closely align with something like a Cat Williams performance, but you can live in all those worlds, and it was 5 minutes away from each other. No traffic, right? I was able to get there. It was an affordable show and hilarious, right? Great world-class entertainment. I mean, Cat Williams is a world-class level comedian in a city of this size where you can actually afford a home and afford to experience great restaurants, great music, great culture. I came from a place where it's now rapidly growing, right? And everybody, if you go to top 10 list of to do anything, my hometown of Durham is on those lists now. But when I was a kid, it wasn't. It wasn't on those lists. Nobody wanted to be there. And much like folks in Peoria, people that were in Durham in that time felt like they were kind of stuck, right? Why would I be in this great place? Why would I be in this place that ain't so great for me, right? But it was folks like my father, who's a native of that community, that would constantly remind me, hey, man, it's not New York City. It ain't Chicago. But there's a lot of stuff here. And it maybe is a little bit more accessible and affordable than a place like Chicago. And that value prop worked for Durham. And I think Peoria's got even more to offer, man, to be honest.
We got the riverfront.
Yeah, most cities would kill to have a river. Let me tell you how much, Gary. When I was working in the chamber in Durham, we even considered building a river because we wanted a water feature so bad, right? Wow. We were like, we have this terrible downtown loop, you know, communities during urban renewal built these loops around the downtown. We're like, what if we rip the loop up and make it a river, right? And
trucked in some water.
And trucked in some water. Because that water feature, particularly the size and scope of the river in Peoria, is something that we shouldn't take for granted.
And unfortunately, with the news, and I've been in the news business for years, there's that expression, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
A lot of times when we serve up news, if you make an analogy like you're serving up dinner or lunch or something, mm-hmm. the big piece of protein, the big piece of meat on that plate is usually the negative stuff.
Right.
It's the crime stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One explanation I heard an elder journalist give was that the reason why we do that is because police and fire are your public servants. That's where a lot of your local municipal tax dollars go, is police and fire. And so you want to follow what their activities are. And so you end up covering a lot of crime stuff. And the crime stories, those negative stories, overshadow the things that you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
And so you want people to just keep in mind, keep the perspective that the negative elements are only a fraction, a small fraction
Indeed.
Of the big picture. Speak to me about that.
Every community has its challenges, right? I just went on a little bit of a rant about all the great things that are happening in my hometown. But just last year, my hometown also experienced a record year of homicides, right? And so both of those are part of the story, right? And I think it's possible to celebrate all that's great about your community while acknowledging that there are some challenges. You know, Angie Ostashevsky, who's done a great job of marketing Peoria on TikTok and has quite frankly attracted hundreds of people
to
move
come
to
and
this
live
place,
here,
right? Which I think is remarkable. Shout out to Angie. She is often quoted as saying, just because you love a place doesn't mean you have to pretend it's perfect, right? And it's just like a relationship you might have with someone that you love. You love them, you care enough about them, but they're not perfect,
mm-hmm.
right? You're able to both see their flaws and their value at the same time. And I think we should approach a city like Peoria that way. But unfortunately, we as human beings are also attracted to those negative headlines, right? People are more likely to click on shooting at X place than they are press conference from the Chamber of Commerce, right? And so we also as Peoria residents have a little bit of a responsibility to lean further into the positivity, right? And say, what is my role as an individual in celebrating what's great about my community, while I'm also recognizing that there are people in our community that need us to support and help make this place better. But it ain't the worst place to be. There's a lot of great things to do here. And I moved here 3 years ago, and it was one of the better decisions I've ever made. We're really enjoying our time here.
Yeah. Let's get back to the thing. I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
And when we talk about this initiative, what's your goal? What would the success of this look like to you 2, 5, 10 years from now?
I think maybe three ways I would encapsulate that. The first is a short-term goal. And that short-term goal is to create a truly inclusive working group, right? And create real collaboration and create an environment where, you know, for instance, Doug Oberhelman is the chair of the Gilmore Foundation, former CEO of Caterpillar, right? And he is helping sort of lead this along with so many other great CEOs and business leaders. But And that's great. And I'm happy that we have this collaborative. But I also want the voices of people who don't feel like they're welcome to the table with a CEO at X Corporation or an elected leader. We desperately need in Peoria to really build a collaboration where diverse voices are heard. And not just diverse voices, because that's such a vast thing, but particularly the voices of those who feel marginalized, left out in this community. So that would be a big success. If we can build that collaboration where people who aren't normally around the table are heard, valued, and allowed to lead, that would be a big success, right?
Now, let me jump in before you continue, because I think you being in the position that you're in is going to really help that aspect of it.
Because
and you divulged that when you were first entertaining coming to Peoria, you experienced a filter that is not so uncommon, but it's not such a positive thing.
That's right.
You want to speak to me about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you Google Peoria, right, there are not a lot of great things. And more specifically for me as a black man, you know, when I Googled Peoria, worst place for African Americans to live in the country was one of the headlines at the time, right? And while I've had a great experience, I'm acknowledging that for a lot of folks in our community, specifically Black folks in our community, they don't feel included and don't feel welcomed. And for some of our community, it might feel like the worst place to be. So how do we improve that? We invite people to the table, and I'm a big believer in not just inviting people to the table, but placing the voices of the marginalized at the center of the conversation, right? You know what it's like to be invited to a table and then no one really wants your ideas, right? They just want you to
validate. They just want you to be there.
And validate and, their ideas.
And a right? photo op.
Yes, right. But we're trying to build a really inclusive and collaborative strategy for this. So that would be a big win.
I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, it's all good. The second win, I think, is the tangible goals. One being creating a more positive morale about Peoria, right? I keep mentioning my hometown because there's just so many parallels. And today, when you go to Durham, like if you ever go visit Durham, you're going to see people walking around wherever you go with Durham shirts on. And I had a friend who came to visit me. He was like, dude, why is everybody that lives in Durham wearing Durham shirts? Right? We know that you live in Durham. Why do you have to wear a shirt? But people are so proud of the development and what's happened in that city that it just it bleeds through everything. Right? You can see it. It's palpable. Right? And I'd love to see Peoria feel like that. When people get here, instead of people asking me the question they still ask me every day 3 years later, what in the world are you doing here in Peoria? They say, man, you better check that. You better come check Peoria out because it's popping, right? So that's the second goal. And the third is the biggest goal of all, which is increasing our population. So population has been declining for decades. We need to show net population growth by the next U.S. Census, which will be 2030.
Yeah, I don't want to throw anybody on the bus or put anybody on the spot, but let's talk about realtors and the key role that they play in all of this. Yeah. Because when people are considering a city to come to, the realtors are the ones who are going to point you in a direction. You should live here, or you can live there. Or let me show you this place, or let me show you that place. And you had a personal experience with that.
Indeed.
As many of us who are non-white come into a community.
Yeah, I think so. One positive is that the Peoria Area Association of Realtors is involved in our effort, right? And I get a chance each week to meet with Jen, who runs that group here in Peoria, and talk about those things, those concerns, right?
And you talked about your experience.
Yeah, and you know, I ended up getting a house in Peoria city limits, but that is in Dunlap School District. And, you know, everyone told me this is the good school. Well, as a Black man raising Black children, there's not a lot of diversity in that school for me, right? And I wish I would have known the context of the decision I was making, right? As much as I love my house and my neighbors are really friendly, you know, where your kids go to school matters. And this sort of notion about good schools, bad schools, that sort of bleeds into Peoria's sort of real estate market, we have to overcome, because Peoria Public Schools, not perfect, but doing amazing things, right? And some of the value that Peoria Public Schools could offer a family like mine, I'm not able to get in what people consider the good schools, right? And so being culturally competent enough to recognize that our largest public school district is really the anchor of how we're going to attract people to this region, and we should do everything in our power to say all the to publicize all the great things that happen there when we're showing people where their houses are. Now, sure, people have a choice to live where they'd like to live, but let's at least give the city of Peoria an opportunity, because if this region is going to grow, and I think we've acknowledged that in this effort, the city of Peoria is the most important component of that, right? Not that our surrounding communities aren't valuable because the region is what we're selling, but the city of Peoria is our anchor, right? And we need the city of Peoria to grow and thrive.
Last couple of questions. I'm curious to find out what your perspective is on the downtown area, the warehouse district, and the south side. It has been said by myself and some others that the future of the city lies in the redevelopment of the warehouse district and the south side and some enhancements downtown, because the city, some would argue, has grown as much as it's going to grow in the Northwest Corridor.
Yeah.
We're starting to see population come back to the downtown and the warehouse district in terms of some residential places. What are your thoughts on that? And then I guess you could throw in, unfortunately, we've lost some major developers, Kim and these guys who left.
Yeah. We're going to need a whole nother show to talk about downtown, because this is an issue I'm really passionate about. But I'll do my best to encapsulate my thoughts shortly. Really sad to see the KDB group having to pull out of Peoria. Wish them the best and hope that Kim and his family are healthy and doing okay. But downtown is critical, right, to the growth of any community, right? If you were to go visit your favorite city, first place you're going to go is to the downtown of that place. You name it, right? And if that downtown is thriving and vibrant, you're going to associate those two words with the rest of the city. It's also your best chance for an economic engine is in that core of your city. And in many ways, Peoria deurbanized over time, right? And even the culture of Peoria has deurbanized, right? Meaning like, what am I going to do on a Friday night, right? In most places, you're going to head downtown and figure it out. In Peoria, it's like I might go somewhere on the north side or to the Heights or, you know, where every now and then I may come downtown if there's an event or festival. So we got to sort of culturally reorient ourselves as well. From a development standpoint, though, I agree that the south side is critical. And I like that you include the south end of Peoria in the downtown narrative because I certainly view it as a part of our urban core, whereas others may see it as a separate place from, for instance, the Warehouse District. And the more we separate the neighborhoods in our community, the less successful we're going to be. We have to build a truly continuous or contiguous type of downtown experience.
And a mindset of integration.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And see ourselves as a part of it. And how beautiful would it be if one day you could walk from the Warehouse District all the way down to your radio show and all the way down further into the South End. But that takes a concerted effort and strategy, particularly around creating demand. Right. And the way that we create demand in downtowns like Durham, where it came from, is through programming and excitement and safety. Right. Sort of those three things. Right. So what is there to do in downtown on a Wednesday night? Right. And whose responsibility is it to make sure there's something happening on a Wednesday night? Well, I think it's ours. I think it's community organizations like ours that need to decide what are we going to give people to incentivize them to come downtown on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, not just Soul Fest, not just Greek Fest or Oktoberfest. But every single day and night of the week. And the second piece of that is how are we going to know they're safe, right? What types of investments are we going to make in lighting, in populating the downtown with ambassadors so that people feel safe and that it's clean? Because there are stigmas that are attached to downtown that really aren't deserved. Downtown is probably one of the safer parts of the city in terms of crime. If you look at the data points, the downtown core very rarely has incidents, right? And so there's some safety that some perceptions of lack of safety that we need to address, and we do that through some of those ways I discuss. I think if we're able to pull off a successful riverfront redevelopment, a successful downtown, a truly integrated downtown where, you know, parts of our city don't feel cut off from the others, and we market and tell our story and build a positive energy, Choose Greater Peoria is going to work. But I will also say, if we don't do all of those things, and sometimes it can feel like you're trying to eat an elephant, but we have to do it all, Gary, because you can't leave any stone unturned. Otherwise, we fail, right? Yeah. And so I appreciate your comprehensive thought process about this, because it's bigger than just one project or initiative or me saying something nice on a radio show. We got to build a true strategy that's inclusive of all those things.
Choose Greater Peoria, Joshua Gunn. Hey, thanks. I've been asking you a lot of questions, and we appreciate you stopping by the studio to be on Dollars and Cents. And I'll take you up on that whole nother program.
Let's do it.
So we can expound.
I would love to. And we could even, I could even suggest a few other voices that are part of this discussion, because downtown is going to be critical, as is what I would consider this part of downtown where your station is. We got to make this thing work.
Thanks.
Oh, always enjoy talking to you, man.
Now to my conversation with Fred Stewart, who is the program manager for entrepreneurship and contractor development here at the Minority Business Development Center. We have a lot of things going on. April, May, you're dealing with contractors. Tell us about the scope of services that contractors can get when they come to the Minority Business Development Center.
Well, contractors can apply to be a part of our incubator program that assists contractors with back office support in terms of QuickBooks, in terms of phone etiquette, in terms of also building out their business to become an entrepreneur and put them on the road to opportunities to become a GC and an Ameren ally.
Now, it's been said that and I don't know if this is a joke or half-truth or what, that a lot of the contractors have their office in the glove box of their truck. Is that a joke or is that half-truth?
That's known to be true at one point, but that's why we're building out the back office support team to remedy that contractors no longer have to carry all the receipts in their glove department, but we provide apps and software that can help alleviate that, and it can be streamlined to a more professional capability.
Right. And when we talk about contractors, there's about, what, 15 or 20 different jobs we're talking about. When I think of a contractor, I'm thinking of a carpenter, electrician, but this could be somebody who has a business where they do hauling, or they could be doing road work for the state or something. Explain the range. What kinds of occupations are we talking about?
Yes, yeah, so we talked about traditional contractors, contractors for housing, contractors for, you know, trucking, contractors, HVAC, plumbers. Again, the solopreneur who's out making money, like you said, who are hauling, who doing in and out jobs, still giving that business ability and that back office support to help them maintain their day-to-day operation.
You mentioned general contractors, and a lot of times, you've heard this over the years, you'll have a general contractor who has a job, and they're is a set aside for minority participation, you know, 15% minority participation. And we sometimes hear general contractors say, well, we can't find any minorities to do the subcontracting work. You don't want that excuse. You don't want the general contractor to say, oh, we can't find them. So what are we doing to take that perception off the table?
Well, one of them is our 10-week contractors program. And it builds the capacity of contractors from making sure they're structured and they have the proper foundation to make sure they understand and they get educated on invoicing, on billing, on bidding jobs, and understanding what opportunities are there for them. In the 10-week class, we do a whole section on certifications, because the more capacity you have, the more opportunities you can apply for, especially in the set-aside arena.
You're also coaching people about not doing too much work. We all know the classic story of, let's say, the guy who's going to be painting my house, and then you come over my house and you say, oh, wow, you know, he's doing a good job. And, you know, what's your name? Oh, my name is, you know, Joe the Painter, and here's my card. You know, I can do your house, too. And then the neighbor lady comes over. Oh, yeah, I can do your house, too. And the next thing you know, he's got three jobs, which is great. But I'm expecting him at 8 o'clock on Saturday, and it's like 9 o'clock, then 10 o'clock, then 11. And you're expecting him to do something, and he's not showing up, or he does a little bit. So talk to me about that scenario, and how do we eliminate that? What do you coach them on?
Well, coach them, and specifically their capacity. What capacity do you have as a contractor to perform jobs? And capacity, we mean the timeliness. Do you have assistance? Do you have help? Do you understand when you've been the job? Do you have the appropriate timeline established to alleviate your committing to other jobs when you're not able, which can be a detriment to the businesses, and you end up losing jobs and possibly getting a bad name and reputation.
Yeah. Something else you mentioned was certifications. Talk to me about the different kinds of certifications that are out there.
Well, you have the WBE, Women Business Certifications. You have the BPE as well. There's three or four certifications that contractors should have, and we encourage to go through it and to have patience, because it's a pretty long process. It'll take a couple of months, but as long as you have the right foundation, you have all your paperwork together, that's the most important thing, because there's a lot of documentation that's required. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have the documentation and you're able to provide it in a timely manner, that with project manager you're probably working with to help with certification, you'll be okay.
We're getting ready to go into the warm weather season. Spring has sprung, and this is the construction season. There's a lot of work out there. COVID kind of did a job on a lot of people in terms of work. It used to be people would be walking around saying, man, I can't find a job. Now it seems like there's an abundance of jobs that everybody is hiring. And we don't want people to leave out contracting work when they're considering a career? Because, Fred, these are lucrative careers. If you're a tradesperson or HVAC or carpenter or hauler or any of the things that we've talked about, these occupations, these are bona fide, take care of your family type jobs, right?
Correct. And they are available. So if you're interested in getting into the trades or learning more about the opportunities in the contracting field, please give us a call here at the Minority Business Development Center, 309-966-3989.
And when are your classes? You got anything coming up? Last time I passed by one of your classes, I saw 25, 30 guys and ladies in there. Yes. So your April classes have been going well.
April classes are going well. Well, next week will be the final week of our entrepreneurship boot camp. But we restarting a class in our Bloomington location May the 3rd. And the Peoria location will resume in June.
And at these boot camps, this is where you come in with a napkin. Right?
Absolutely. Idea. The idea, back of the napkin plan, back of the piece of paper plan that you're inspired by for small businesses. And we go through those steps and we talk through those opportunities if this is right for you. Mm-hmm. We don't discourage anyone, no matter where you're starting from. We really encourage. And from that, you know, some people have a hobby that they make decent money from, which is okay. That's different from entrepreneurship. But if you have a hobby and you're doing well for yourself, just making sure you set up right, the right steps to make sure if it's taxable, you know, you get with accounting, you understand the finance part of that. And just if individuals are interested in moving forward with entrepreneurship, they can go into our academy, which is right after the boot camp.
All right. Sounds good. Fred Stewart. And we're going to be looking forward to the programs in May. Again, the number he gave, 309-966-3989. That's the number to call here at the Minority Business Development Center if you want to talk to Fred Stewart about the Entrepreneurship Bootcamp or about the Contractor Development Program. Anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't talk about?
No, I'm just grateful for the opportunity and we're here to help people elevate, execute, and have the capabilities to take the right action.
All right, Fred. Hey, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Dollars and Cents on WPNV. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by SethQ, not a bank better. Dollars and Cents airs at 9 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 6:30 p.m. Sunday. Thanks again for listening. Money, 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 money.